God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. God is good. I want to take a minute before I read my scriptures. Say it's really good to see you, Alex. It really is. Amen. I talked to this guy when he was really young, and we texted a lot, didn't we? I put him in my phone as Brother Alex James. That's what I got him saved as. Man, it's so good to see you. Jonathan, good to have you too, man. Good to see you. And all of our visitors, if you're here and you're a visitor, stick around. We'll love you. We will, and we'll share Jesus with you. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 12. John 12 and 12. It says, On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Man, a lot of people show up when Jesus is there. Ain't that the truth? Took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. You can go ahead and be seated. I read that in honor of Palm Sunday. Today being Palm Sunday. If you don't know what Palm Sunday is, now you know. Jesus was making his entry into Jerusalem. The people heard that he was coming, and they took palm branches, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried with those, Hosanna. They threw them out before him, and now we have Palm Sunday. But this is to kick off Holy Week, and there's a lot of things that we are celebrating this week, this being one of them. Before Jesus could ever be crucified, he had to make his entry into Jerusalem. He had to make his way to the city of David where he would be crucified. When he entered, Brother Eddie, he knew very well what he was headed toward. He knew what his plan was. He knew what his destiny was. He knew it all. It's why when he prayed in the garden, he would pray, let this cup pass from me. But he would say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna. When the presence of God comes into a place, it excites worship. That was so weak. I thought that would go way better than that. I said, when the presence of God comes into a place, worship is the proper response. So when Jesus is on his way into the city, Jesus, being the fullness of the presence of God, it brought about worship. They understood. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to church where the presence of the God was, where the presence of God wasn't. Can you presence of the God wasn't? Have you ever been there? Anybody ever been in a church that Brother Eddie says is dry as cracker juice? There's no spirit there. There's no life there. There's, as a matter of fact, I've been to church and it's been pretty boring before. Anybody with me? Some of y'all have and you don't want to admit it because it was your grandpa's church. No, I'm kidding. But when you get there and there's no life and there's no spirit and there's no worship, then there's a problem. Because when God shows up, he brings about change. When Jesus would go to preach, there was a stir. When Jesus would go to minister, people would come about. Why? Because the presence of the God, I'm saying it again, the presence of God is what we're looking for. Every one of us wants to be united to the presence of God. The reason we want to be united with that is it is him who spoke us into existence. So it's actually a reuniting. So there's something that ticks in us that lets us realize when God is there, the Bible says it like this, our spirit bears witness with that spirit. There is a bearing witness. So he says they come about and they begin to worship. It takes me back to 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 12. When David found out that the house of Obed-Edom was being blessed because the Ark of the Covenant was there. If you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant was, the Ark of God was a box that housed some things, but more importantly than all of those, it housed the presence of God. because the presence of God was in the house of Obed-Edom, he was being blessed. David heard about it. We know the issue. The problem was they tried to bring the Ark of God back into the city, but they did it the wrong way, and a man lost his life because they were doing it the wrong way. They weren't going according to the protocol of God. Let me say it like this. You don't get the presence of God in your life any old way, but there's a way that God demands and requires of us to get his presence in his life. First of all, to ever have the presence of God in your life, you've got to be washed in the blood, because the only way the presence of God comes to us is if we have been cleaned of our sin by the blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ. A lot of people want God to bless them and move for them, but he can't move for them unless they have first been washed in his blood, adopted into his family, and are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God blesses his children. That's just the way it works. You say, well, I don't know about a God like that. Well, I'm telling you about the real God. Well, my God wouldn't do that. Your God wouldn't, because your God ain't real. But this one's real, and this is how he rolls. So there was a protocol. There was a way that they had to bring the presence of God back into Jerusalem. So it's told David as they drop it off at Obed-Edom's house. Verse 13 says, and it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. So they go down to get the ark of God, and they're bringing it back to the city of David. They're bringing it back to Jerusalem. Again, I want to reiterate, where there is the presence of God, it brings about worship. So David has the presence of God. He's bringing it back to Jerusalem where it belonged, not in the enemy's camp. And on the way back, he took 6 steps and he stopped and he worshiped. 6 steps and he stopped and he worshiped. I'm telling you, this trip took a little while, but where there is the presence of God, it excites worship. Whenever God shows up, it brings about worship. 6 steps, he would stop and he would worship. David danced before the Lord. I want to let you know, if you're a visitor here and you wonder what this worship service was about, it's about the presence of God. And be careful looking at the way somebody else worships. Some people cry. Some people raise their hands. Some people bow. Some people just stand there. They don't know what to do, but they're still. Don't make fun of the way anybody is worshiping, because you don't know what the presence of God is doing in their life. Did I say it again? Okay. Because when God's moving in your life, it will bring about a response. This is how every person in this room got saved. God began to deal with your heart. You may have went to church not even expecting to be saved. You may have went to church to see a girl or see a boy. You may have went to church just to see what was happening. But when God's presence begins to move on you, he can change the way you've been thinking. He can change your attitude. He can change everything about you. Because when God's presence shows up, somebody co-sign this, because when God moved on you, he made you move on him. That's just how it works. I remember when I went to church. I remember the night I got saved. I remember it so well. Can I testify for just a minute? I had a guy, Jeremy Nick, invited me to church all the time. I was a heathen. And he kept inviting me. I went to church with my mom through the years on and off, but I never could really get hold of anything. I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to do good. He invited me to church, and I didn't want to go. I was okay in my heathenism. Anybody been there? I knew if I died, I'd go to hell, but I wasn't going to do anything about it. Anybody been in that situation? He said, go to church with me. And I told him no. And he kept on and on and on and on and on. And it was a Friday night, and he said, hey, man, why don't you ride to church with me tonight? I got 2-hour drive, and I got to go by myself. I said, be careful. He said, man, that ain't right. He said, just ain't right. He said, I treat you so good. I said, all right, I got an idea. I said, we'll go ask my dad if I can go. If my dad says I can go, I'll go with you. I knew my dad wasn't going to let me go. The reason I know that is because that morning he said, hey, there's a lot of stuff you got to do this weekend. You've been putting this stuff off and you're going to get it done. So I knew. We pulled in the driveway. Nick gets out of the truck and he runs up to our dad and he says, hey, Claude, Damon wants to go to church with you. I'm like, that's a lie. He says, is it okay if he goes to church with me tonight? I got to drive 2 hours by myself. And my dad betrayed me. Because he said, well, tomorrow's Saturday. He's got a lot to do, but I guess he can do it tomorrow. You can go on. Nick turned around. We drove 2 hours to Myco. Does anybody know where Myco is? Raise your hand. It's not on an interstate. It was hours of driving. And I went to church, and I sat in that service, and I'd heard his dad preach before, and I said, I can't. I got to get out of here before he preaches because I'm going to mess up and give my life to Jesus. Because I was close the last couple times I heard him preach. Anybody been there? Anybody besides me sitting there trying to reason it all out and trying to figure it out? And I said, I got to get out of here before he preaches. And, man, God started dealing with me. The presence of God started dealing with me. Before he ever got up to preach, I got up to walk outside, and I went to turn left, Steve, but I turned right, and I went to the altar, and I surrendered. I knew something was dealing with me. It was the presence of the Almighty God, and when God deals with you, he wants some kind of response from you. This gospel that we preach, it's not designed to be debated over or argued over. It's designed to be responded to, and I'm glad that one day I responded to the gospel. And I ain't been the same since. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, like having the presence of God in your life. Nothing. Nothing compares. David understood how important it was to get the presence of God back to Jerusalem. 6 steps he would worship. The Bible says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Next verse. Watch what happens here. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with they're having a time. They are having a time. I do not understand these churches that are quiet. Because when God's presence shows up, there are trumpets and there is shouting. Can you say amen? No, sir. No, sir, preacher. We like to worship God in the beauty of silence. Never heard of that before. Never heard of that. And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. How y'all pronounce her name? Michael? Mikhail? Michelle? There's all kinds of pronunciations. I looked it up on YouTube this morning. So it really don't matter how you say it. This was his wife. Saul's daughter looked through the window and saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord. And y'all say it out loud. He and she what? She despised him in her heart. Let me tell you this. Not everybody's going to be excited about your worship. Not everybody's going to be okay with the way you worship. As a matter of fact, some people, this is his wife, this is their one, she should be supporting him in what he's doing. They should be working together. Some people that you think would be on your side in your worship are still against you in worship. David didn't care what anybody thought about his worship. His goal was to get the presence of God back where it belonged. It don't matter what the person beside you thinks about you. It matters what God thinks about you. I want to preach to you right now. That person in front of you did not die for you. That person behind you didn't carry the cross for you. That person beside you didn't raise again for you, but he did. He did. She despised him. They brought up the ark of the Lord and they set it in his place. Where? In the midst of the tabernacle. Let me tell you where God's presence belongs. In the middle of all that you are. That's exactly where he belongs. God don't don't operate on the edges. He don't operate on the outskirts of town. He's got to be right in the middle of it all. You want your marriage to work? Put God in the middle of it. You want your work to work? Put God in the middle of it. You want your friendship to work? Put God in the middle of it. You want it to work with your kids? Put God in the middle of it. Amen. They pitched a tent for it. Acts tells us that God's going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. That blows my mind. Solomon had a really cool temple. If we was to build that temple today, it would be in the billions of dollars. Cedar and gold and silver and all the tapestry and all the beauty that Solomon made his temple. You know what? God didn't say he was going to rebuild the temple of Solomon. He said he's going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. What was the tabernacle of David? Here it is. It was a tent with the sides rolled up and the presence of God in the middle. The Levites who were priests that offered sacrifice, he turned them into worshipers. He said, here's what you do. We're going to worship 24 hours a day. We're not stopping the worship in this place. What does this tell me? This tells me more than the gold, more than the silver, and more than the tapestry. God wants somebody that'll worship him in the midst of the congregation. Burnt offerings, peace offerings before the Lord. He's doing offerings. Keep going. As soon as David had made an end of the offering and burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. There's blessing in worshiping God. And he dealt among the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Look at the person beside you and say, now David's got to go home and deal with his wife. Any of you guys ever been having to go home and know your wife's mad? Oh, no, sir. I handle that. There's two kind of men in this world, those that are henpecked and those that lie about it. Well, I got to go home. Well, go. Well, David's got to go home. She's mad. He's heading home. The daughter of Saul came out to meet him. Say she's at the door. She didn't wait for him to come in. She went out to meet him. Can you see this? Anybody see this? What do you think the look on her face was? Anybody want to guess? How glorious was the king of Israel today? This is called sarcasm. You think she really thought he was glorious? No, this is sarcasm. She says, how glorious. I think she said it like this. How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaiden of his servants. Sounds pretty good, right? As one of the vain fellows. Shamelessly uncovereth himself. David was in a linen ephod. He was king. He should have been wearing the royal robe. But that robe was inhibiting his worship. When you allow who you are to stop your worship, you think too highly of yourself. Whatever robe you got on, you need to strip that thing off and get down to the bare knuckles of who you are and understand that without him you're lost, without him you're dead, without him you're sick, without him you're in trouble. You better know who you are. Next verse. Please. No, back up, get me back there. Please. Back up one more verse. Verse 21, please. And David said, he had the nerve to open his mouth. He said, it was before the Lord. Let me put this like this. I don't care what you think. This was to God.
You ever heard the story about the man and the woman? They're on the way to church, and they're fighting all the way to church. They're arguing. They're into it all the way to church, husband and wife. They're fussing about everything. They get to church. She's so mad. She sits there with her arms crossed the whole service. He's up shouting, glorifying God, dancing. He's just having a time. They got in the car on the way home, and she looked at him and said, "Well, you really showed yourself today." He said, "What does that mean?" She said, "We fought all the way to church, and then you got up there and shouted." He said, "I wasn't mad at God. I was mad at you." It was before the Lord. Watch this. Worship is redemptive. Let me say it again. Worship is redemptive. It was before the Lord which chose me. He said, let me tell you why I was worshiping. Because he chose me. Let me tell you why I was worshiping. Because he chose me. The Bible says we didn't choose him. He chose us. When you were dead in your trespasses and sin, God sent his presence to draw you out of sin, to call you out of bondage. He chose you. When you figure out that it was God that chose you, it'll give you a reason to worship him, because God chose you. Oh, somebody in this room today has got to say, I want to praise him because he picked me. I want to praise him because he called me. I want to worship him because he brought me out. I want to worship him because when I was in Egypt, he sent me deliverance. Why do I worship? Because he chose me. He redeemed me. He bought me. I didn't have to pay a thing. He paid it all, and he brought me out. Can I get an amen? Worship is redemptive. Jonathan, people don't understand. When we come to church, we raise our hand to a God that we don't see. Don't we? The world's got to think we're a little bit crazy. They're singing them songs about Jesus. I heard you over here. Woo! I heard you. Somebody's got to think you're crazy. What's he wooing about? What's he shouting about? What's he excited about? I'm going to tell you, you don't know like I know what he's done for me. His son and his mom are sitting in a car. They pull up to a red light. They look over. There's this young guy over there. He's sitting at the red light. Man, he's just getting it. I mean, you know, y'all know how y'all are sometimes when nobody's around. Anybody? Does anybody dance when nobody's looking? Anybody? Anybody? Come on, you can tell me right now. Tell me. Tell me. Oh, you got moves like Jagger. Until somebody's watching and you go straight up Caucasian. You dance. He's moving. He's getting down. And the mom looks over and says, look at that idiot. So what's wrong with him? And her son looked at him and said, Mom, you just don't hear the music. The problem is, Mom, you don't hear what he hears. I know this is Easter, but I got to ask you, can you hear what I hear? Because when you hear what I hear, it does something to you. What have you heard, preacher? I heard I was going to hell, and I heard I got delivered. I heard I was bound, but I heard I got free. I heard that there was no hope, but I heard I found the one who is my hope. So excuse me while I dance. You just don't hear the music. You just don't hear the music, man. That's good music. That's music to my ears. You going to heaven? I'm going to heaven. You ain't lost no more? I ain't lost no more. Whatever it is, man, he brought me out. I'm saved by what Jesus did. And his presence brings about some kind of response. David said it was redemptive. He chose me. Not only was it redemptive, how long have I been saved? Am I good? Not only was it redemptive, it was reflective. Watch what he says. Chose me before your daddy. I mean, that biblical father. Your daddy. Listen to what he's saying. He's reflecting. I believe David was anointed to be king somewhere between 10 and 15 years old. Let's go high, 15. Samuel anoints him at 15 years old. When he's bringing the ark back, he's over 30, maybe even 38. So let's shoot low and say 30, 31, 32. 17 years ago, he looked back and remembered that God chose him from some things, from over some things. Sometimes we learn this Wednesday night. Sometimes you need to remember where God brought you from. You need to remember who, what, when, and where. You need to remember where you was when he called you. You need to remember who you were when he called you. You need to remember what he delivered you from. It's reflective. When I look back and I think of the goodness of God and all that he's done for me, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. They're bringing the presence into the city and they're shouting going on, the entry of the omnipotent powers back in there, and they're worshiping. Fast forward to what we celebrate today. Jesus is coming into the city, same city. This was a tabernacle like no other tabernacle. This was the glory of the temple that would be greater. The latter temple greater than the former temple. This ain't just no ordinary dude riding in on a donkey. This is God manifested in flesh coming in to pay the sin debt for his people. The presence of God is coming into the city again, and the people worshiped. There's something about when God does something with his presence, people worship. Can I take you to a couple more scriptures? I'm going to let you go. Luke 15 and 10. Luke 15, 10. I got maybe two, three more scriptures. Then I'm going to let you go. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You ever been praying, just praying for somebody to give their life to Jesus? I mean, you're praying for it. Do you know how it feels during an altar call to watch them go to the altar? Has anybody ever experienced that? Man, that feeling is awesome. It's awesome. You're like, man, they don't even know. They don't even know how awesome it's going to be for them. Does that mean they're not going to have any trials, no more? No, that's not what that means. That means they're going to have somebody to help them through everything they go through. Because right now, before they went there, before they surrendered, they didn't have anything. They had their own intellect, their own emotion. They had their own scheme. But man, you got the God of the universe on your side now. And I'm going to tell you right now, with God, all things are possible. Everything. Look at this first verse. Say, everything is possible with God. Everything. Doesn't matter. Likewise, I say, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Here's what happens, Brandon. God sends his presence. He begins to draw somebody. Now, this person don't know exactly what's going on. I know I didn't. Can I get a witness? I just knew something was calling me. Something was dealing with me. Something was telling me I needed to change, and it kept tugging on me. I see them. I give altar calls. I know how they work. People are under conviction. They start looking around. They start trying to find babies. They find somebody to talk to. Church people, y'all got to stop talking to people under conviction. If they come to you and they say, hey, just say, pay attention. You look up there. Look up there. Trying to get their mind off of it because the presence of God is tugging at them. And you know what the devil's saying? Don't go. You're going to have to give up too much. You're going to have to give up this and give up that, and you ain't going to be able to do it. And you ain't going to be able to do it. That's why you need him in the first place. So this is the presence of God dealing with the soul. Right? So when it happens, heaven rejoices. We started a new thing in our church. If you're here today and you're lost, we're going to give an altar call. If you want to come to the altar and pray, we're going to clap like crazy for you. I mean like crazy. Go ahead and show them how we clap for people that come to the altar. We're with you.
It's not one of those things where we sit and say, well, I wonder what they've done. We've done worse. I know some of you, you've done way worse. But we're going to, why? Why? Because we're excited for you. Why are we excited for you? Because the presence of God is coming in and doing a work in your life that nobody else can do. Nobody can do it like Jesus can. She's saved. We're going to let her go. First Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know why I rejoice? Because I believe. I don't have to see him to believe him. I know he's here. If y'all didn't feel anything in worship, you need to come and pray that your feeler gets calibrated. By the calibrator. Philippians 4:4, last verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. If you're lost and you're going to get saved today, I'm going to rejoice with you. If you don't, I'm still going to rejoice because I got saved. Try that over here. What are y'all talking about? Joyce Myers. I'm trying to preach up here. Rejoice. Not Joyce, but Rejoice Myers. Okay. That's weird. Thanks for telling me, man. I appreciate your honesty there. Why will I rejoice? Now you don't. Now I can't get that out of my head. Rejoice again, I say. Rejoice. Why will I rejoice? I'm going to tell you why you can rejoice. You're saved. You know why I'm going to rejoice tomorrow? Because I'm saved. When I get to heaven and I'm going to worship for 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000s of years, I'm going to rejoice because his mercy endureth forever and I'm saved. We met the Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, musicians, come on. You know, when times are tough, you can still rejoice. When things ain't going right, you can still rejoice. When somebody goes prodigal and wayward, you can still rejoice. When somebody steps outside of the fold of God and walks into danger, you can still rejoice. Why? Because you know we got a shepherd. I'm talking about salvation here. I'm talking about one that leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Can I take a minute and go fishing here? Because I'm telling you, if God's dealing with you, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a moment to step out of your pew. You can repent right where you're at, but we won't know to clap for you. And we're just rejoicing people. And go ahead, get your clappers. Look, you know what? Just hold them up in worship until they come. And then you... Good, Aaron, sing, sing. God, if you know God's dealing with you, don't wait. Amen. Don't sit there and make deals. Well, if they sing that song one more time, I'm going to go. Sooner or later, we're going to stop. We're going hungry. We would sing all day if we knew you would come at 4 o'clock. We would stay. Don't do us like that. Just come. If God's dealing with you, just get up and go. Don't let the devil talk to you. Stand up and go. Just go. Just go. If he's calling you, go. Why? Because we want to rejoice with you. We want the presence of God to come into your life, come into the life of your household, come into the life of your family. You be blessed, and then we rejoice together. Because without the presence of God, there's something missing in your life. Let's get it fulfilled right now. Let's get it filled up right now. As they sing this song, I want, let's stand. Let's all stand. Go ahead and get ready. I'll get some closer. Now I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait. You're gonna wait for what? What are you waiting for? What are you gonna wait on?
right now? Is God dealing with you right now? Step out, step up. Today is the day of salvation. You will walk out of here better than when you walked in. It's about surrender. It's about surrender. It's about surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I give it to you. I put it all in your hands. My life, my death, my existence, my eternal destiny. Come on, come on, come on. All you can do better than that. Oh, come on, somebody clap. Rejoice! Come on, help us, help us, help us. We serve a God that delivers. We serve a God that sets free. We serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. Thank you, Lord, for making a way. Your presence makes the difference, Lord. David would pray, take not your presence from me. The value of having you with him. God, we want to grow closer. Draw us in, Lord, to your presence.